us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my sweet, sweet wife, Vicky, right here with
Hello,
me.
Hello, Thrive family.
And we're going to keep talking about talking. And some of you are good at it, and some of you don't do it, but you might think you're good for the wrong reason. I talk. Well, great. But God calls us to use words well. So think in terms of a stewardship of words. Just like you've got a stewardship of the gifts he gave you, talents and abilities, you've got a stewardship issue with any money that comes your way, because the Bible says it ultimately all comes from him. You've even got a stewardship of your health, the level of health that he gives you. Think in terms of stewardship of words, because guess what? Ooh. The Bible makes it clear, especially in the wisdom book of Proverbs, that words have power. Power to destroy and power to heal and give life. You can walk away from your spouse feeling incredibly refreshed and built up, like you were sagging and I've got some buoy in my step. Or you can walk away from your spouse thinking, I was feeling pretty good until that encounter, and I feel like the life has been taken out of me. Because words do matter. And so we're trying to help you in these recent shows to get your arms around the places that couples go in their communication that other couples don't. And this is what sets them apart. Every now and then our world stumbles onto truth. They're really good, actually, at assessing data, at gathering, and then telling you what they see. It's when there's a big problem that they can be off the mark on, so what is the solution?
Right.
But regarding relationships and communication, wow. I got this article from a psychologist that said, here's five areas that healthy couples regularly traffic in. They go there in their relationship. And when I read it, I was like, spot on. Thank you, Lord. I believe Vicky and I touch on all five of these, and we didn't used to. The first one we said is you're willing to actually talk about. You don't leave it in limbo and silence. You talk about the state of your relationship. How are you doing? How are you feeling? You try to make sure, are they feeling supported and appreciated? If you have a fond memory or a happy thought about something, you verbalize it, because there's a connecting point that the two of you could share. And then we said, just see if you could form a habit of a daily check-in, where you just touch base. And ours is at 9:30. But let me give you another one. Second area, he said, is they talk about what each of them are currently into. I hope you realize human beings are not static. There are things that stay the same. I love music. I've always loved music. I still love music. I'm probably going to go to my grave loving music. But there are areas that are, you know, you don't ever want to begin to think, I know everything about her there is to know. Or I know everything about him there is to know. In other words, strong relationships, it's one where the people, each person, husband and wife, stay curious about what excites the other. Could be a song they can't stop listening to or a book they've been devouring. Even like, I think it's funny, we're not huge on social media. We don't even have TikTok. But we do both have Instagram so that we can see amazing things about our grandkids. But oh my goodness, it's a connecting point. She'll send me something that really moved her. And it might be a young person articulating something about our world right now. And we're like, I agree. She'll send me maybe an old person, somebody that's 100, some woman sitting in a lawn chair, just giving a nugget of wisdom. And I kid you not, when I watch it, I cry and I think, she was moved. I was moved.
I only send him really good stuff because he's a very busy man.
She does not pummel me with every silly thing, but it's fun to laugh together.
Right.
One of my favorite things, and I've done it more than once, is some big, you know, bull pit terrier or some massive, scary, strong dog, pit bull, that is in the middle of jumping over a high fence, and there's some voice in the background, my name is Maximus, and then there's some golden retriever or dachshund that tries to do it, and his face smashes right into the top of the fence, my name is Sam.
Yeah.
And I laugh, and I know that she laughed when she saw it, and it's a connecting point. Those are the silly things. What are they into? But you stay curious, and this kind of draws us back to previous shows. I'm telling you, a proud person doesn't care what anybody else is into, including their spouse.
Yeah.
Your world is just very small. It's all about me. But a loving person who wants to continue to communicate well with their spouse. So think right now to yourself, have I stayed curious about my spouse? Or do I just act like there's nothing new to learn? And even if it's the same category that you already knew, it's a new example of it. But think in terms of marriage is about oneness. And as often as you can connect, there's an opportunity that your roots are growing towards her roots. And there's a networking and a connecting over life.
I think of an example recently, Brad just went away. He does this, I think, every 3 years. He goes away to some abbey and he goes to different ones.
I'm Protestant, but I did learn, I'm telling you what, Catholic properties and abbeys are some of the best places to pray.
He went to one where the monks made
bourbon fudge
and cheese. Yeah.
And it's really a silent monastery. I've gone there like 4 or 5 times in the 30 years.
I can't imagine going there.
But I love it. You're pulling your little roller bag from the parking lot and you hit a sign right before the building. It says, from this point forward, absolute silence. You don't even speak to the person at the counter.
I would not do well there.
They just slide your key across the counter and smile in a monkish kind of way.
And then when you eat, you all sit on the same side of the table and just look out this window.
So when you go to the cafeteria, since there's no talking, it would be weird to sit across from someone. All the chairs are on one side of long tables that look out a window, and you just sit there with the sound of chewing.
But he recently tried a different monastery in Indiana.
I just 2 weeks ago, we were driving to St. Louis to see our daughter Lauren and saw signs and I was like, huh. And it was the Arch Abbey of St. Menrad, Indiana. And I got online and checked it out and thought, I'm going to go there.
There is no bourbon fudge or cheese. They make robes for monks. Not quite as exciting to me.
Their way they make some money is they sew handmade, priest garments and monk robes. But that's where I was for 3 days for prayer and reflection and thinking. But I'm not cut. I don't want to go 3 days without talking to Vicky. And so I'm touching base with her.
And he called me and said, oh, I just tried this new book of prayers
that I really enjoyed. The collection of Puritan prayers called A Valley of Vision. I've used it forever. If you don't know that, get it. So good.
It's a great resource.
But there was a new book that I saw. It's not a new book. It was new to me. It's like 100 years old. And it's called A Diary of Private Prayer by John Bailey. B-A-I-L-L-I-E, and I'd taken it with me, and I really liked it.
And we touched base. He called me. He was telling me about it.
Oh, man, I'm using this Diary of Private Prayer by John Bailey, and I really like it. And she could have said, you know, think about it. She could have been watching TV or looking at her phone and said, It's not what she said. She said, send me a picture of one of your favorite readings, because they're just short little healing readings.
I would love to read it. And I did, and it was really
moving. And so I took a picture, and she could see how I had marked it up with a red pen and said, yes, exclamation point. And it highlighted a couple things. This is just a little example, but you guys, that's how you will begin to feel closer to your spouse. And that's better communication. We're talking about, what should you talk about, and what are the things that healthy couples do that so many couples aren't doing? It's that.
And once again, that didn't take 30 minutes. I mean, that was just a, 30-second conversation. It took me probably a minute and a half to read his prayer, but that's a way of connecting with him.
But let's be honest, it made me feel special. My heart took a little bitty leap that she had said, oh, send me one of your... So then I thumbed back through the last 3 days of pages I'd read and picked out one of my favorite and took a picture and sent it. And then she wrote me back a sentence or two about it. These are the things that cause you to begin to feel more connected, like you know this person and they feel loved and special. And we do this for each other back and forth. Hey, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to keep heading down this path. What should you actually talk about? What are the things that healthy couples do that is missing in so many other relationships? We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. They're talking today about staying curious about your spouse. Now, think about the couple in your life whose marriage you'd point to and say, those two, they really have something. Now, picture handing them this episode and saying, hey, listen to this. It reminded me of you. Doing that kind of thing is how Thrive finds the next person. So before you do anything else, send this episode to someone. There's a couple in your life that you know. You go to church with them. They're in your family. Friends, coworkers, whatever the case might be, but there's a couple in your life who needs what Brad and Vicki are talking about today. And the simple act of clicking the share button on this podcast and sending it to them does more than you realize. Not just for the algorithm and for us, but for them. That's who we're concerned about more than anything. Also, the Fortis Plus app, I want to talk about that for just a moment as well. You can pass that along as well, but first of all, you've got to download it. You can't pass along what you can't reach, so make sure that it is on your phone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org, but make sure that you have it. Again, it's free. There's no catch. There's no paywall. There's no barrier for you to consume all of the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute. There are hundreds of hours of audio and video content available right now, and we're adding to it every single day from people like Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel, and Libby Clausen. Fresh content is posted every day. You download the app one time, and you've got a deep well to draw from. Fortis Plus. And the part that keeps every bit of this running, folks, the app stays free. All of the content we create stays free because there are people out there, men and women just like you, who chose to fund it. These are people that have been impacted by the content they've heard here at Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to make sure more people in more places all over the world also have access to this. So if that is you, maybe you've heard something here that has helped your marriage in some way, then join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We know you've got questions about what that would look like in your life, and you can find answers right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
We're back and we're talking about marriage and we're talking about communication in a marriage. And so therefore, we're trying to lean in and say, well, it's not just do you talk. Most couples to some degree by necessity talk, but it feels like treading water. And it's just everything you talk about is superficial and is based on just basic life, getting life done. who's taking her to soccer, what time is that event, what time is the recital, what. And that's why your marriage might feel the way it does. I remember when Vicky looked at me earlier in our marriage and said, I don't even feel like I know you. And this, we're talking about things now. How would your spouse feel like they know you?
Right.
And everything doesn't have to be earth-shattering. Here's the biggest dream I have. One day I want to. It's little stuff all along the way. I think of all the little things that I've learned and I know about Vicky that caused me to just think, that's why she's so special to me and that's why I feel closer to her. I know her. Little things that are important
to her. And I think especially when I know, and I think you would probably say this about me too, it makes it even more special when I realize he's not normally really into this, but because of me, he's listening and learning about it. So I think recently I really got into terrariums. My grandmother grew up on Lookout Mountain.
Help everybody. They might even not know what a terrarium is.
It's like,
I didn't.
You put plants and dirt in a glass container and it has a glass lid and it's like a self-contained little
biosphere.
Ecosystem.
Like a little ecosystem, yes.
Right. So my grandmother.
She's way ahead of me. I'm just reading books and this girl's got an ecosystem.
Well, I have
a
love for it
because
my grandmother grew up in Lookout Mountain and.
But see how funny this is? I lived my entire life and had never seen a terrarium or knew that anyone cared.
Yes. But my grandmother would make me one every summer, and she would get all these native plants to Lookout Mountain. They had some of them had little red berries. They had beautiful moss. And then she would either bring it to me in my house in Georgia or when I would come see her that summer,
so
she would give
travel,
it to me.
Have terrarium.
Oh, yes.
We'll travel.
Yes. And she would make little clay mushrooms out of clay that she would make by hand and stick in there. So, I mean, it was very elaborate.
She loved the outdoors,
oh,
right?
Oh, she did.
Massive
she
flower
loved the
gardens.
Outdoors, yes. She had two different gardens, one on the mountain, one on her home in Georgia. So I just have such a love for terrariums. So I did all this research. I found this guy in England with a British accent, and this is all he does
that
for a living.
Helps.
Yes.
Was it a YouTube thing?
I don't know. I just found his site. And so he has all these, he makes terrariums.
But I'm saying you could see him talking?
Oh, yes.
Or
yeah, it was
talking?
A video, okay. Yeah. And so he told you how to make a terrarium, and so it involves sphagnum moss, lava rocks, and vermicast, which if you're wondering what vermicast is, because I don't, it's worm poop.
Ooh.
It's very rich. And yeah. So I went and got
vermicast.
All this stuff at Home Depot, had most of it, and I found this huge glass container.
Home Depot had vermicast?
Yeah, believe it or not. Shocking.
Oh, what aisle is that in, baby?
Out in the garden section. So I found online this really big, the base is about as big as a dinner plate and it's about 14 inches tall and it has a glass lid. And I ordered, if you can believe it, Etsy has so many different things. They had all these plants because I needed plants that were more like an Amazon rainforest because this is going to be very moist.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted moss. I wanted little like palm trees. So I ordered all of this online. Did it exactly the way the guy in Britain said. And I mean, to be honest, I think I've watered it. You water it initially once and then put the glass
you
lid
just
on.
You missed it with a spray water bottle?
Well, I've done it twice. And it's
since you created it, you've watered it twice.
2.5 years old.
Wow.
And so what I usually once about every 6 months.
See what I'm learning?
I have to open the top and trim off the plants because they actually start growing to the top of it.
So you have to trim them.
Right, because they're growing.
Wow.
So it's just this self-contained little. But like, you know, Brad was like, what kind of plants did you get? Show me all your stuff. How do you mix all this?
Guess what? I showed interest.
Right.
You know, and some of you.
Which I knew he's not interested in the terrarium.
You don't have to, and I'm sad for the measure of this that's going on, hitting and just verbal profanity. But you guys, it's not just the heinous, awful, big stuff that causes a marriage to feel awful. It's little stuff where often you think, that hurt. You know, if she had begun to say, oh, look what has come, and I'm in my chair and I'm just like.
Because I was really into it.
Or worse yet, if it's like, honey, that's just crazy. Who wants
cares?
Plants in a jar? Who cares? These are the ways that you don't thrive and you don't feel. I got to be honest, and I don't think it would hurt her feelings. I would never, ever be interested in doing this.
Right.
I would never buy all that. I would never put it together.
It also has a growth
light. I would never water it.
$9.99.
Huh?
A growth light.
Well,
little light.
A growth light.
You have to have the right light source.
And. See, you need to be supportive of what they're into. So I didn't say, because I'm the one that works on the budget. Really? A light, plants, worm poop, da-da. Look, girl, we don't have $45 for a silly terrarium. She could say the thing to me about a book. Really? Another book? Because, oh, man, Amazon packages come every other day.
And now he's gotten into thrift
and
books.
And she'll say, but I did find thrift books online. Because I don't just want books. I want hardback books. I just love a good hardback book. And, man, you can get them for like $9 in very good condition, not marked up, from thrift books. That's extra. Do you see the things you're learning? Do you hear the things you're learning on Thrive? You can now get some hardback, very reasonably priced books.
And you know what vermicast
and
is.
You can create a terrarium.
Party.
So you could read
poop.
A hardback book mm-hmm. while you sit next to your worm poop and wait for that moss to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what your spouse is currently into. You show interest. You draw them out. You don't say, You say, oh, wow, tell me more. And this is how you're going to feel closer, and this is how you'll have communication working in a way that God, because we're talking about what do healthy couples have who thrive that other couples who do talk don't have.
And I think this is even helpful. I know even like with our children, as Brad showed interest, our children who no longer live at home, they kind of got into it. And my youngest daughter, even for, I think it was for my birthday, since I didn't have clay to make my own mushrooms, she found some on Etsy because she's really artsy and crafty. And she bought me these really tiny mushrooms. They're probably half an inch tall, and they're white at the base with red tops, and they have little white polka dots on them. And I put that in my terrarium. So it was really neat. I think Brad even showing interest got our kids involved. So as you are showing interest as a spouse, your kids are learning how to show interest in other people. So it's a win for everyone.
Yeah. Because even like, you
just
know,
how to communicate.
Vicky, if she was to be absolutely honest, she doesn't dislike music, but it's way down her list compared to Brad Bigney.
True.
And so when she asked me questions, because I'm not just to the point of stay curious about what your spouse is into. I'm not, the fact that I'm into music so much means that I'm constantly exploring a new genre. Mm-hmm. So I might be
He's into all sorts of music, right?
You know, I'll be playing something and she could just think, oh gosh, whatever, here's something. And she'll say, oh, what is that? And then I say, oh, that's bossa nova. That is a genre of music from Brazil and da 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 da. And the fact that she asks and the fact that she stops doing what she's doing, she looks at me while I answer the question, we're talking about how would you feel more connected and how would you feel more loved and how would you be using words well so that your marriage would begin to thrive. You stay curious. I'm sure she's shocked on any given morning from the bathroom. I mean, she might hear classical men's.
It's true.
Like, I love Il Divo.
I
That's
think,
four guys.
What is happening?
I'm telling you what, nothing moves me quite like hearing a huge man with an amazing voice sing in another language. I could just cry.
We don't know what they're saying.
I don't know what he's saying, but it is beautiful.
But it is moving.
Beautiful. But then another morning, I mean, it might be soul straight up. Then another morning, it might be blues. Then another morning, it might be a Mozart symphony. There are no words, but good grief, it's just soaring, glorious music. This is the man that she married. And for us to feel closer, the mistake that I made early on is you want them to also do what you do.
Right, and love it as much
as
you do.
So she doesn't expect me to have a terrarium in my study and be trimming my little trees and moss. I don't expect her to actually be downloading Bossa Nova or Il Divo and be playing it in the kitchen. In fact, we try to prefer each other. So while I play it in the bathroom, I would have it going in all spaces, but when she shares the space with me, say we're working on a meal together, I just don't turn it on. I know she would prefer...
Or he turns it on and we just don't have it quite as loud.
She would prefer it not on because she'd prefer to just talk, and she's explained to me why. She's a mom of five, and she will probably never get over the level of noise that she was in the middle of.
So much of their younger years.
She's wonderful, but wounded. And so I try to take
that
into
quiet.
Account. We're talking about What could move your marriage from barely alive to beginning to thrive? And a lot of it has to do with not are you talking, but what are you talking about? Do you know how to talk about the state of the relationship? How are you doing? And do you stay curious about your spouse and the things that they're into? Oh, tell me more about that. Show me that. These seem like little things, but little things can lead you to a great, big, better place by God's grace.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.